Welcome to this week's fabulous guest on the Coaches and Leaders Assemble podcast. It is the remarkable Hayley Ram. Hayley, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for the invite.
Oh, listen, you're so welcome. I am delighted that you have decided to do this. We've been talking about it for a wee while and the stars haven't quite aligned until today. And I get to hear all of the wonderful things about you, as do our listeners on the Coaches and Leaders Assemble podcast. All things, the DNA of business mentoring, but very much around your journey and the wonderful things that you're up to these days. Now, before we get started, Hayley, I like to tell people how I know you. So, okay. For anyone who's listened or who knows me in particular, of course, I'm Laura Royal from DNA Coach, and I used to live in the dizzy heights of the Sunderland area, probably a period of my life that's best left unsaid in many aspects. But for the time that I lived there, I made such a great network of friends, colleagues, and just outstanding people. And you were one of the people that I sort of fangirl followed because of our mutual connection and the lovely Charlotte Angus. So mm-hmm. I'd always see your fabulous name and all of your lovely things on LinkedIn. And then I got the pleasure of your company when you joined our Coaches and Leaders Assemble conference, which feels like a lifetime ago now, doesn't it?
Oh my goodness, it does. Working 9 to 5, the song still sticks with me.
I mean, if you can get a room of like HR professionals to start singing at a kind of mini conference, then, you know, it's got to be good fun, right?
That'd be good.
But that was, when was that? 2023, wasn't it? So, gosh.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
So it feels longer.
It does, actually. I think it was because we were still muddling out of that lovely C word time, weren't we? So
yes.
I think we were all still finding our feet a little bit.
Indeed.
But yeah, it was great. Yeah. It stuck with me. It was fab because I'm not great for going to these types of events. But that one I was determined to be at, and you just made it brilliant. It was great from start to end.
Thank you.
Great takeaways.
Great to have you there. And then, of course, you and I have shared even more time because you had done our coaching qualification. And then we're firm friends, of course. We keep in touch regularly. Although I don't live in the Sunderland area now, but every time I do speak to you, I talk about, in fact, I don't think I've mentioned it for a little while, my love of Bellini's restaurant in Sunderland. Bellini's was always my favourite.
Oh, yes. And we can smell the garlic from Bellini's from where we are. So every night, my tea smells rubbish in comparison.
Oh, I love it. So, Hayley, of course, you are a business mentor. You're very many more things than that, of course. And you operate under the fabulous business name, The Efficient Elephant. Hayley, tell our lovely listeners a little bit about you, please.
Oh, my goodness. Shall we go way back when? Shall we go to the start?
Please.
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking about this and I thought I've probably had quite a traditional, typical, you know, education and upbringing and all the rest of it. Then I started thinking about it. I thought, actually, I haven't. And I go right back to GCSEs. I flew through. Absolute, you know, doddle. What's this all about? A-levels completely crashed and burned.
No.
So, at the first point of having a plan in your life of, right, okay, it's A-levels and this is the university I'm going to and off I go to study X, Y, and Z. No, I crashed and burned completely rubbish in my A-levels. So therefore, I had to go through clearing to get into Sunderland University. And I share that from a point of view of I'm spending some time with some work experience pupils tomorrow and I'll be sharing the same with them because I want them to know that whatever road path you're on, it will change, whether you like it or not. You've got to be ready for that. But also, that it's okay if it changes and if there's bumps along the way. So yeah, so A-levels, rubbish. University, yeah, did okay, got through it. And then I kind of dropped into a recruitment position, which was a temporary post. However, I did fall in love with recruitment at that time. Things progressed. I moved on to HR. And as my career started taking off, I thought, right, okay, I need to actually solidify my learning here as well as my practical experience. So I went on and did a second degree and did the CIPD degree. And that supported me through my HR career. And you know what? I enjoyed it. It was great. I was like a sponge at the time. I learned loads. I worked in manufacturing. I worked in automotive. I worked in call centers. So fast and furious industries, ever changing, ever building, ever growing. So lots of learning. It was great. But then I got to a point where something just wasn't quite sitting right. And by that time, I had a young family as well. My hubby's career was taking off and he was working away a lot. And I just thought something needs to change because this isn't quite fitting for me anymore. That's probably quite a polite and sane way of saying I was at that point of losing it a little bit. So I thought, right, okay, you know what? I'm going to go self-employed. And I think the rebel in me kind of went, and not only am I going to go self-employed, but I'm going to, you know, what's this, you know, career all about? Do I need HR? Do I need recruitment anymore? No, maybe I've had enough of it. So I threw it all to the wind. And I tried two or three completely different self-employed roles. I did Avon for a little while. I set up a painting club for children.
How good is that? I didn't know this.
Yeah, painting club for children. Loved it. And that all was because my daughter was a proper, like, artist, which is lovely, but not when you are constantly surrounded by glue, paint, stickers, glitter. And so I was thinking, right, it can't just be me as a parent that doesn't want all this mess in the house every day. So I set up a painting club for children. And then I also moved on. And this is probably where my love for coaching, mentoring, supporting kind of started bubbling. I became a children's coach and helped children in schools with their confidence and just mm-hmm. built their confidence and helped them to have tools to help them with everyday life. So that was all swimming along. But those three things, they weren't for the long term. They didn't fit me for the long term. They were great to try, great to learn something different. I was determined to stay with self-employment. So I naturally fell back into HR and recruitment. And so for the last 10 years, I've been supporting SMEs with their HR and recruitment needs, which has worked wonderfully. And I've had some gorgeous clients, and I'm so grateful for that. But what that's naturally done is, because they're SMEs, because they're entrepreneurs, because they're business owners that I've been working with, I've very much become their sounding board, because some of them are solopreneurs. They have nobody else to talk to. They have business decisions about people, about processes, about systems, about clients, about customers that they can't make by themselves. And so indirectly, I've been mentoring and supporting and providing a sounding board, I suppose, service to them over the years. And that is why I've then progressed into coaching qualifications with The Wonderful You. And as you know, I learned so much from that course, personally and professionally. I got so much out of it. And that has naturally brought me into the more of a business mentoring focus, which is now what I am completely devoting my time to, pulling away from the HR and recruitment side of things again and devoting my time to business mentoring.
Love it. And you know what I love about this, Hayley? It just proves to everyone, exactly as you said right at the start there, that our careers are, you know, to coin the phrase, squiggly. We have those squiggly careers. They don't always start in one linear way and progress. It continually moves, and it's, you know, one thing can lead to the next, and it's that lovely evolvement. And now that you're utilising your vast experience in the field of coaching and business mentoring, I'm really excited about. So tell me where you're at right now. What kind of things are you up to in the wonderful world of business mentoring? Because I still fangirl you, Hayley, and follow you on LinkedIn. And of course, I see all of your lovely things that you're sharing around the business support that you're offering in terms of business mentoring for those clients that you talked about. So what's your approach? How do we do business mentoring?
Oh, that's a big question. Business mentoring for me is being able to provide guidance, to be able to share knowledge and experience, and just to support a business owner with whatever they may need. So my business mentoring focus is very much on the business owners and the entrepreneurs in the world for SMEs. And it's not, the way I describe it is, I'm very much there for the in-betweeners. So you've got the business owners right at the beginning of the journey when they're on a startup journey, and they have to go through a ticky box exercise of, you know, have I got HMRC? Have I done my research? Have I done a business plan? There are some wonderful organizations out there, especially here in Sunderland, Pedco, the North East Bit, wonderful for providing startup business mentoring support. Then you've got the other guys who I think are more like the business coaches, business consultants, who help organizations that are wanting to go for scale up and wanting to grow overnight and just want to rocket. That's not where my skill set sits at all. I would be doing anybody a disservice if I sit in that arena. So I'm very much for the in-betweeners. So it's for those people that have been ticking over 2-3 years and they're kind of a little bit lost. Maybe they've got too much to do. Maybe they're thinking about bringing on their first member of staff. Maybe they're thinking about bringing on a new system. Maybe they just can't see the wood for the trees and they just need, as you would say, a curious conversation to help them build clarity in their business journey. And I was speaking to one of my colleagues the other day, and I said, it's a bit like when you leave the hospital after having a baby and you have the baby in the car seat and you're trying like hell to put the car seat into the car. And then you're driving home for the first time with the baby in the back of the car. And you kind of go, okay, oh, so hang on a minute. My parents aren't here. My partner's not here. The midwives aren't here. I'm just left to do this all by myself. It's a bit like that in the business world, whereby you've had somebody holding your hand for that startup phase and to get you going for 18 months, then you just left. Well, where do you go? Where do you turn? How could somebody help? And it's those are the types of people that I am helping at this moment in time. And I love it. It's great. So every industry can be different, every sector, the different type of businesses I can work with is lush.
I love this. And it's a real great way to describe that, actually, just in terms of that journey. And what I love about what you're sharing, which I've been reviewing in more detail of the kind of things that you're up to, it's very much that difference and the importance that mentor has, as opposed to those coaches, consultants, or whoever else might be out there to support. You know, there's benefits of having, you know, many of those types
Absolutely.
Of people. But if I think about the opportunity for mentoring in workplaces and business as a business owner myself, sometimes you just need someone, as you very beautifully described, that sounding board, that person that's there in the corner, fighting your corner almost, and you've got that expertise and that experience, because it is tried and tested, isn't it? The trials and tribulations that you've been through in your business. Yes.
Without a doubt. And I think the two main words for me is it's accountability and it's ownership.
Yeah.
So I see myself as quite a driven person. I see myself as quite independent. I see myself as quite self-reliant. However, I have always had a business mentor. Not constantly, not every week, every month, every year.
Yeah.
But I've always had the one person who I've gone to time and time again and said, okay, I just need you to help me clear the fog. I just need to have a conversation because I'm thinking about X, Y, and Z, but I don't know whether to choose A, B, or C. So to me, even though you feel like you're that type of person, having somebody that you are still accountable to and who makes you take ownership for your to-do list or for your next actions is absolutely invaluable.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And of course, this episode is very much around the DNA of business mentoring, but I love to hear it from a real life business mentor, because some of the phrasing that you shared there on the kind of strategy, I suppose, of business mentoring, it's exactly gaining that clarity, isn't it? I talk to people about our DNA structure of that discovery, that direction, that navigation, that nurture part, and then also those, you know, actions and accountability. And I think when we've got all of that together, and the way that you design that and you create that with your clients is fantastic. So I'd love you to share your strategy for that, if that's okay. So, you know, if someone were wanting to embark upon having a business mentor, you know, what kind of conversation would they have with you? How would they start that journey? What kind of support do you provide as a business mentor to others? And this will be really nice insight for anyone out there thinking, well, what is the difference between that coach or that consultant that I could bring into my business or for me as an individual, as opposed to a business mentor? So you've got your mentoring map and magic, and hopefully you'll get a bit to that as well, because I'm loving all of this.
I think for me, the kind of approach I take is it's a six-step process. So the first one to me is absolutely golden. It's what everybody calls the discovery call or the chemistry call, but it's what I call it is, do we make each other smile? So it's a call about, do we make each other smile? So basically, are we connecting? And if we're not, then let's not go there. Because to me, you actually do need to connect. You have to have similar values, similar motivations, similar interests to actually be able to have those brutally honest conversations. So the first step to me is absolutely that. Do we make each other smile? And if we do, we go on from there to hold four sessions. The first session, one of my colleagues referred to this as the fizz session. And I thought, that's brilliant. Because what always happens is it's like shaking a bottle of champagne, keeping it open, and all the fizz comes out. And that first session is usually just like, whoa, let's just spill it out all on the table. And then the next three sessions from there are very much about, okay, so let's look at all that spilt fizz. Which part of it shall we concentrate on? Which part should we dig deep into? Which part should we look at and make an action plan if that's what's needed, or just have a conversation about? And then the final step, which it, to me, is just as important as the first one, is it's that review session. It's okay, what's gone well so far? What's worked? What's improved? What benefits have you felt? What have you not felt? What do we need to concentrate on? And actually, shall we continue working together or shall we not? Am I the right person for you and your business or not? And that's the structure that I take. And that seems to work quite well for everybody.
I love this. Again, I love the metaphors that you share with things, just that fizz, because I think everyone can think about that. Even if you're not a fizz drinker, you know, the fizzy bottle of Coke overflowing, you can totally see where that Absolutely. Just explodes everywhere. And I think, you know, the opportunity where mentoring really comes into its own, it is that action, it's that accountability, it is that sounding board. So for you and your experience, what would be the real benefits of mentoring for individuals, SMEs, even for anyone listening today who isn't in that space but is maybe an operational leader in the bigger organizations? How could we then marry up? Well, what does that mentoring look like in those spaces? What would be your approach, or what would be your thoughts on that?
And that's a really good question, actually, because I think mentoring can be used in any capacity, can't it? It's not just, I know I'm talking about business owners, entrepreneurs, SMEs. That's just because that's the niche market that I'm working in at the moment in time. However, you're absolutely right. It can be applied. So somebody who perhaps is within an organization, the benefits to mentoring, if you're employed either as a senior team leader or any member of the team, you know, it's shadowing somebody, isn't it? It's gaining individual development, it's career development, it's succession planning, it's going for promotions, it's learning leadership skills. You could have somebody within your organization who is your peer mentor that you learn from for all of those reasons. So I think it can be applied in the workplace in that way. Thinking about organizations that I work with, to me, the massive benefits are, I think business owners become more self-reliant. They become more confident in making decisions. They have clarity, and therefore communications within the organizations are much better. A lot of the things they learn, they either take on themselves or they pass on to their team members. So it's helping them to develop as well. So I think that really helps. And actually, I picked up, you mentioned Charlotte right at the beginning of this conversation. I picked up something Charlotte said. I'm going to put my readers on to quote Charlotte. People who doubt themselves just a little are more open to learning.
Yeah.
So that was brilliant what she said, because it's absolutely true. And we all doubt ourselves all the way through our lives. We all doubt ourselves in whatever capacity that is, whether we're a senior leader, whether we're a team member, whether we're a business owner, we doubt ourselves. But if we open ourselves up to say, I'm doubting myself, I need help in this area, it has massive benefits for the organization all round, because it just strengthens those skills, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that openness to learning, because I don't think any space that anyone is in, you've got to the very end of that journey that says, okay, I've finished learning now. You know, there's always something else, isn't there? There's maybe a curveball, maybe, you know, moving into different marketplaces, different experiences that we're going through. And I often think about some of my earliest mentors as, you know, the people who I looked up to in my early part of my career, that I saw them doing great things, demonstrating great behaviours, you know, leading, managing, operating really fantastically well. And there was just something about them, just that little essence that I thought, you know what, there's something great about who this person is, how they show up. and the things that they're doing and that they're achieving and the way that their approach comes across and how they deal with people. And I think the real beauty of having a mentor is someone that you do have that connection with. And that's why, you know, I know we talk about discovery all the time, don't we? Discovery calls, conversations. But that connection that we make with someone at a real pivotal point in your career or your business can be so powerful as a mentor. And I think that's, you know, is huge. I love that you shared as well the benefits then from a mentoring perspective in organizations, because I remember in the early part of my career thinking that mentors were this pedestal-led person, you know, when they had that title of mentor, even though I now know the mentors I had were all just great role models. Yeah. And if I think about the people who were designated mentors, there was almost a hierarchy pedestal type of thing about them, that they were this big fancy guru and, you know, they were filled with all these strategies and design idea thinking and all this stuff. But actually, they were just an everyday human person being able to support and help you navigate through that overspill that you shared in that fizz metaphor. And I love that approach, because it doesn't have to be something that I think you have reams and reams of pages of documents that are strategy led. Of course, there might be some strategy in there, but you know, it's that succession planning, it's the progress that people make in organizations. Your mentor doesn't have to always be 10 steps ahead. It can be that peer-to-peer person. You know, you've got some fabulous experience in your career and the industries that you've worked in, and just knowing you as a beautiful human being as well, just being able to have that connection with you, I think, such a great support. I love this. So
it's funny that you mentioned peer-to-peer mentoring there, because I've just actually, I would say this is probably my first formal peer-to-peer experience that I've had this week. I've had lots of peer-to-peer indirectly before, but probably not put a label on it. But this week, we purposely met. There was five of us met. We're all Sunderland-based businesses, some self-employed, some employed, some recently self-employed, some being self-employed for years, some taking changes in their career. And we had a peer-to-peer mentoring session on Monday morning, and it was absolutely brilliant, because it was almost like there was no barriers, there was no boundaries. It was a very much what's said in this room stays in this room. There was a sort of a confidential element without us all having to say that. And we just asked each other the questions. We said, right, what's your situation? What are the obstacles that you're facing right now? What have you done about it so far? And what do you want from us as a group of professionals today? How can we help you today? And it was just that group together that just worked brilliantly. And a bit like what you touched on, none of us are more experienced than the other or more skilled than the other. It's not about somebody being a guru that, you know, that we were looking up to. It's actually that we just all respect each other as professionals, completely from different sectors, different industries, different backgrounds, but that can only help us to learn more from each other. And that's us as professionals accepting that even at this stage in each of our careers, we still need some level of support. And that, yeah, that peer-to-peer mentoring is invaluable as well. It doesn't have to be one-on-one. It can be a group situation, which, like you've said, rightly so, can be applied whether you're in business or you're employed in a business. It can be applicable either way, can't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I love the simplicity of that. You know, it's four very straightforward questions to really explore, exercise that curiosity and look for, you know, what are the obstacles that we're currently facing? You know, where do you need support? And this is where, again, I think some of the methods, the practices, the disciplines, if we use that word, of things like coaching, counselling, mentoring, training, development, all of these things, you know, it starts with a conversation. It starts with listening. And then, you know, as we do in just everyday human life, we support people through that. We don't realize we probably do a lot of that every day. You know, I often say to people, you'll be coaching already, but don't realize you're coaching. And again, we probably mentor without giving it those labels, but it's just having those curious conversations that then leads to those actions and those accountability measures. I love that. The simplicity of it's priceless.
And I think that's one of the things that I've learned, that keeping it simple is often the best way forward, because asking the right questions, I suppose, is far more powerful than just providing answers. And that's, I think that's one of the conversations you and I had one time. I said to you, this is what I used to be terrible at. I would just dive in to provide solutions. I would just dive into problem solve. I would just dive in to say, well, what about X, Y, and Z? Do this, do that. And that's not what it's about. It's about providing the questions. And some of the magic questions in mentoring are the more simple ones. And often I just start a session with, okay, if I had a magic mentoring wand and it could change anything in your business right now, what would it change?
Yeah.
And the answers that you get, phenomenal.
Oh, I mean, it's such a powerful question, isn't it? You know, even as you've said that out loud, right now in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so what do I need? Because you can't not go there. Just, you know, when you ask that question, it's like, okay, well, what is it then? So, and it's just that space, isn't it? We talk about that in coaching a lot, of course, where you hold space, but mentoring's just, you know, a beautiful space where you just hold that opportunity to explore, to listen, to ask some of those great questions and just have that extra level support.
And it's quite amazing as well, and you will find this with your clients, how people want different things from mentoring. And I suppose, although you're there to share your knowledge, offer some experience, not to give direct advice, but to be a sounding board and to hold their hands, some clients want different things. And I've learned now to actually, after a couple of sessions, say, okay, is this working for you? Is this how you want it to go? So one of my clients in particular is a ticky list person. So she likes to go through what she's achieved, what she hasn't, and if she hasn't, why she hasn't, and what we're going to do next time. So it's very much about action planning. Then I've got another client who is very much about, she's on a learning curve. So she's on a huge learning program, and she just wants to talk about that lesson that week. Okay, this is what I've learned. How do I apply that into my role? And she's actually somebody who's employed and is being developed into a senior leader. But she wants to know how to apply her learning into practice. So it's very much about not only asking the broader questions, but asking about what's right for them. What do they want as a mentee? What do they need to get out of it? Because everybody's different. And then other people, you know, want you to challenge them with questions and ask them, well, why are you doing it that way? Have you thought about another way? Can we explore different avenues to that? And so it's really quite interesting, out of one question at the top of the funnel, where it can actually lead.
Oh yeah, definitely. And again, this is a real beauty about just that, not having a one-size-fits-all approach, because you know I'm a fan of models and frameworks as a starting point, as a guide, and there's a lot of people who in the world will say it's a bad rap if you're following that, but it can give us some structure. But that structure could just start off with one question, and then before you know it, you know, with that deep listening and you know, taking it to where that person needs it to go next is the real sweet spot of having those mentoring conversations. And I love the fact that the accountability will be different for people. So I do have a question that might be a bit of a curveball, Hayley. So how, and I'm thinking about some of my experience personally speaking as a business owner, but things that I hear people share often, and it's, you know, that perhaps hesitance or obstacle that is blocking actions or accountability. And I often hear people think that they think accountability is about almost being held to a ransom rather than accountable actions. So how do we, in a mentoring relationship, sort of manage that thought process of, well, you know, I haven't taken the action before, not necessarily sure how to, and how do you support a person with varying levels of accountability?
Yeah, that is a huge question, isn't it, as well? It's a good question.
The podcast number two, folks. I'm getting carried on.
It is. It's difficult. I think the only way I've learned to approach that is by asking the questions. How accountable do you want to be in this situation? So do you want to go through the bullet points step by step? Or do you just want to say, right, that's been actioned, let's move on? And it's about having that direct question with the client to understand what their needs are. But also, it's about trying to take them back to, okay, why did you want a mentor? And what did you want to get out of this relationship? the things that you're going through, are they still aligned with those goals and those objectives that you first set out? So if I give an example, you know, clients are usually, I want to grow the business, but I don't know how. So that's the first obstacle. That's the first objection. And it's about every conversation we have, does it still align with the growth model, however that looks, if it's 6 months' time or 6 years' time? Are all the goals and objectives that you're setting right for what you want to achieve overall? So it's about bringing them back to why they wanted the mentoring relationship. What did they want to get out of it? And are we still on track for that? And if not, hey, let's change directions. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you shared that, because it is that, you know, the question that you mentioned earlier on, how do we, you know, appropriately challenge people, you know, because there will be some people who then go, you know, oh, I don't know, is this for me? Or, you know, am I able to do that? Do I have the resource? Do I have the skill set? Do I have the time? You know, what does my family circumstance look like? And, you know, do I have the flexibility that I might need? You know, all the different types of questions that might come out of that. But it's finding out what it is that that person needs. And I love that you've shared there that it's bringing it back to, well, why did they seek that mentor out? What is it that they're trying to achieve? And that continual check-in on the alignment is so, so powerful. It really is. Great. I love this, Hayley. I'm loving what you're doing. I was going to say, I can see the joy in your face all the time about it. It just lights you up, I think.
Thank you. Well, that's good. And I'm glad you can see that, because that's how I feel. And I think we just had a conversation just before we sort of press record about that. I've had 10 years in self-employment, and I think there's three things along the way. There's been my self-employed life, which I've absolutely loved. I've loved being self-employed with all its ups and downs and roller coasters and 24/7 life that you live. I still love being self-employed. I love the flexibility of self-employment and how my career has given me the flexibility that I've absolutely needed for my family life throughout the years. And then the third part of it has been obviously the HR and recruitment part of my career, which has been massive. But I actually feel that what's been happening over the last X amount of years of that career has all brought me to this point. And I couldn't see that at the time, but I feel like it brought me to this point. So whereas before, I loved self-employment, I loved flexibility. And you know what? Yeah, HR recruitment was okay, because that's what I was skilled in. That's what I knew. And that was where my skills and experience laid in. However, I now feel like all three parts are aligned, and that's probably why I'm lighting up, because I feel self-employment's aligned, flexibility is aligned, but you know what I'm delivering on, which is purely business mentoring now, what I'm delivering on, it totally lights me up completely. Because if I can go to bed on a night knowing that I've helped somebody, even if I help somebody across the street with the shopping, that's fine, but whatever element of help and support I can offer, if I've helped one person a day, I can go to bed happy and in peace with myself. And this kind of role allows you to just help and just to support and be non-judgmental and just be there for people in whatever form they need you to be. So I feel like all three elements now are aligned, and let's see what the next 10 years hold in self-employment.
Of course. I love this. And Hayley, there's a real masterclass sort of thought process there, isn't there, that it should be in a world of workplaces, whether it's your own business or you're an employed person, that actually we find joy and we find passion in what we do, and that we've got good people around us that provide that support, and, you know, that we should go home of an evening and feel fulfilled, and that we've done something that we can go to bed and rest well because we know we've done something that maybe helps a person move forward. And that's one of the beauties of mentoring. And I'm so proud of you that you've really stepped into this. Honestly,
thank
it's
you.
Brilliant. So if any of our lovely listeners wish to get in touch with you, Hayley, for all things mentoring, business mentoring through the Efficient Elephant, how do we find you?
Oh, definitely LinkedIn. Believe it or not, yes. LinkedIn is my place. So yes, definitely just my name, not the Efficient Elephant, but Hayley Ram on LinkedIn, and I will be there.
Fabulous. And of course, as part of the show notes for this episode, we'll put all of your lovely links on there so that people can find you directly. And of course, you're in the Sunderland area. So I know that you do you know, in-person stuff, but you also work with businesses and individuals on a scale in terms of, you know, geographic location.
Absolutely grateful for Teams and Zoom for that. Yeah. Allows me to, yes, be across the country. So yes, but yes, absolutely.
Amazing. Hayley, it's a real pleasure to have spent this time with you. I love what you're doing. I love that someone has really taken the mantle of mentoring and just taken it forward even more, because it is something that we don't hear as much about than we do in some of the other fields like coaching or training or HR. Mentoring has its real, you know, important spot, and I love that you're really championing that for everyone. So if you haven't taken note of all the lovely questions that Hayley posed in this episode, then get yourself rewind back on podcast. Is that, I feel like that was like VHS style I was going where, just get your remote control out, hit the rewind button, and we'll pop in some of those great questions that Hayley posed into the show notes as well. Hayley, a real joy. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Coaches and Leaders Assemble podcast.
Thank you, Laura.
Take care. Bye for now.
Bye.